Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Thanks, Dan. My name is Lisa Gill, and I am the inventor and founder of Tossibles, and we are headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska.
Awesome. So can you just tell us more about what Tossibles is and really just how you got the idea for it?
So this is one of those inventor stories where you end up inventing something out of necessity. So it'll all tie in, but I work for the military full time. And so sometimes your biggest frustrations are what inspires you. And so Tossibles is actually, it's a period disposal envelope for your supplies so that you put your items in it after you've used it and then you discard them into the bin. And so the idea is to not put anything down the toilet and get flushed into our water systems. And it's just this little envelope. It's a little envelope like this. And for demonstrative purposes, if you would like, just to get a visual, it would be like if this is your used item, you would just put it in there and then you peel and seal it off like that, close it like this. Nothing's coming out of here. Like it's not going to tear, rip. It wouldn't drip if it was, you know, an actual soiled item. And it's like you can carry it to a trash can if you wanted to. And so that's what I created, which came from years of frustration of being in situations where when it was time to handle the monthly business, I would be somewhere that either didn't have a trash can in the bathroom or it had rude signs all over the place, like don't flush anything except toilet paper. But yet, you know, it's like, well, then I don't have a bin within reach, you know, or if you did, like maybe there wasn't a liner in it, or maybe you're out of toilet paper or sometimes there'd be nothing except like a plunger next to the toilet. So all those things, I would say I got pissed off enough to be like, okay, there's something wrong with this situation and it's happening repeatedly. I cannot be alone on this. Like I cannot be alone. So that was how it started. It was started out of necessity. It's like, there's got to be an easier way to handle this and to be anywhere at any time and be able to take care of it in any bathroom, regardless of where you are. So that's how it started.
So as you first created like for yourself as something that you needed, and then you just were, you know, thought about making it like a business, or was it just it's like from day one, I want to create this product and sell it to millions of people?
Well, it kind of started off as I wanted to create something that would just help a lot of people. Cause I kept, every time I get frustrated, I'd write it down and be like, there has to be a better way. Where am I adapting to a situation where I shouldn't have to, if there was something that existed? And so I actually filled a whole book with ideas of, okay, this frustrates me. There should be something to make this. And I've made a couple different prototypes of things, but when it came to like, all right, I need to have enough frustration and passion to see something through, that I actually chose this one to start with because it was an immediate need. And I thought, well, half the planet's female. So chances are of half that number, then maybe half that uses this type of item versus this type of item. And then half that might even be able to be in a location that can afford it and that is within the US. And, you know, that's extreme oversimplification. But I was like, well, the need might just be there for other people. And so that's why I chose this one. I was like, yeah, biggest target audience possible. And that would be the easiest thing to learn the most lessons on, I suppose.
For sure. So I guess like as of right now, where can people find your product? Is it being sold in stores, online? Like where can, you know, where are most of your sales right now?
Right now, everything is online. I was one of those entrepreneurs that was like thinking about things and then spent a year like prototyping. And then I ordered my first sample batch. I think I had 10,000 in the first sample batch, got it manufactured, which that's a whole separate podcast right there, but got it manufactured and it got delivered 2 weeks after COVID started. And so initially the idea was that it would be in commercial bathrooms. Like you have soap, you have toilet paper, you have paper towels, like this would be in a, like your toilet stall, cubicle, whatever you want to call it, in the bathroom. So the idea was to go commercial at first, thinking, hey, they want to protect their pipes. The signs obviously aren't working or you wouldn't need them, type of mentality. And just to help keep it cleaner so it doesn't have such an ick factor, especially like in high touch places, tourist places. then COVID was like, okay, everyone is at home. No one wants to talk about spending money on new ideas, new thoughts. They're trying to save their business, their employees, you know, everything. So it was like a oh shit moment, I guess. And that is when during the first 6 months of COVID, when, you know, my husband and I, we also got sent home from work because the base is pretty much locked down. We're like, well, where is everybody? They're at home. And so we actually pivoted from the original thought and then created Tossables.com to just sell individually to where people were. So we could just ship it straight to their house. And that's what we have pretty much done since for the last just over three years now.
That's awesome. So I guess like in terms of getting the word out, like what have you done? Have you done like ads or PR? Like how have you gotten like in front of your ideal customers in 2024?
So that is a challenge. And I have learned painfully at times that there is no shortage of people ready to tell you they are the expert and for a certain amount of money, they can help you find your target audience. And so I've sampled on lots of different things from like magazine ads to just general publications to maybe couple years ago I was on the news of just kind of testing. It's like, what moves the dial, you know? And social media was at the time mostly just Facebook and Instagram. So we got on Facebook and we've done some things there and we had some moderate success, but man, those algorithms are always changing. And like your ads, it'll just be working fantastic one day. You're like, or 1 week or 1 month, you're like, hey, we're gaining some traction. Just keep doing that. It completely will change. Like 2 weeks later, it'll go from holy cow of like orders are coming in to nothing. And you didn't change a thing just with a couple weeks difference. And so that's been trial and error. Showed up at some public spaces. Like we have a local event called like Hutch Fest. And that's, you know, local made in Omaha or local entrepreneurial type things. Showed up in person, set up a booth. We even made a toilet game, you know, to get people's attention and to do some fun things with that. And then maybe some press releases and reaching out and talking to some women's groups. So it's just been kind of you're just trying every direction of like, well, let's see what comes out of this. Cause you don't know until you try. So we're just kind of showing up all over and trying to see if the social media really make a difference. And it's shifting now. It's, you know, it's more influencer based versus, you know, just having good ads, good content and a good product. Like that doesn't seem to be what flies anymore. So we're still figuring that out, but.
For sure. Well, I'm assuming, and I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I'm assuming that you probably have a lot of subscribers because people need this product every month. So is that something that you're offering currently?
So we have, this is the box and this is a 3 month supply. And so right now we just ship out our subscribers, depending on everyone's is different, you know, your level of need of how many products you need every month. And so we ship these out quarterly and then you get of course, a subscriber discount. The more frequently it's delivered, the steeper the pricing incentive is for your discount. And we have some that just order when they need it. We have others that get multiple boxes every quarter. Just depends on how many are in need in each household and what level that they go through. Cause it complements other things. Like cups are a thing now, mostly in just North America, but people are concerned about the amount of waste that goes into the environment. And so to reduce waste, they're now coming out with reusable items. And, you know, those have I'm not going to get too into the details with your audience, but the ones who know what I'm talking about, it's like, well, you only need that during certain parts of your monthly. And then this can complement the beginning and the end when you might use something else. And so we're still trying to find our way. Just to see how do you reach people? Is it when they're young and in high school, or, you know, is it when they're older and things become a little bit more difficult to handle because you're changing and going through some, you know, hormonal differences? And your body does different things and surprises you just by waking up sometimes of like, oh, what is this new thing today? And the same happens with your monthly.
For sure. So are you selling only 100% direct from your website, or do you sell like on Amazon too? Or also like, are you even, because like you mentioned your initial strategy of like corporate partnerships, you could say. So like, are you doing any of that? Like, or is it like really just 100% from your website?
It is 100% from my website. And then also just people like the local businesses and stuff, they've had some call me and just say, hey, what is this? Can we get this on our employee bathrooms? It's like, yes. Or they're like, we have 100-year-old pipes. you know, and so I have like a, I have a mountable dispenser, just a small dispenser that, that works great, like in a stall, and they can order that. And some places are like, you know what, just give me a standard sign. And others want custom signage. And others are like, you know what, just give us approval and we'll make our own and we'll send you a draft. And if you like it, we'll hang that above it. I'm like, okay. So that's kind of what we've been doing. And so we're in like a half a dozen local businesses, everything from dentist's office to co-warehousing spaces to like athletic stores. And some are public facing and some are just for the employees themselves and their bathrooms. Yeah. But I don't have a, I'd love to find a distributor who knows how to just can have the conversation of like, if we packaged it differently, what would that look like? Because we're going to make a pitch to a backpacker company soon. And that'll just be like for little portable, like one cycle supplies of like you're out in the woods and back, you know, like that. But, you know, there's got to be some distributor geniuses who just know or know their customers well and be like, you know what, if have you thought about doing it this way? If it was a 10 pack or if it was a, you know, like a large case or something of like just knowing how people order, you would think that they would know. But yeah, that's a relationship that I don't have that I would like to develop, but it's on the list. So.
For sure. So I guess like speaking of your list, like for 2024 to be really successful for you, like what would you really just want to achieve this year in terms of your business goals?
So we're again, staying curious of what we want to do. We have two options. And both are options at the same time. As far as getting in front of people, it's interesting what's going on right now with legislation in various states over what products are provided in schools. Some states, they fund them, but they don't supply, like it's not mandated, you know, of like, you will provide items in schools. Other states, it's mandated and it's funded. In other states, it's mandated and not funded. And so we're interested to see like, well, how does that work? Like, how do you, you know, navigate into the school system and being somewhere like that to get in front of people young, because in places where, like in schools, when girls are getting their business for the first time, nobody is talking about the disposal piece. It's all, do you or do you not have what you need to get through the day? Like, which is important. Like, that's the most critical piece. But then on the back end of that is the schools might be like, what is now going to be coming down our pipes? Or more of something that, you know, we don't have control over. Is there any education on how do you properly dispose of something? And so that's a possible path. And then the other path is AI is all the buzz. Everybody's talking about it. And as an entrepreneur who works full time as well, time is very precious to me. So I have the SEO company I partner with. They are actually beta testing like an AI generated like ad options that is specific to the platform where you are using the keywords that might be relevant at that platform. Now, we haven't seen it yet, but they asked if we wanted to partner on that and just see like, what does that look like? And we're like, you know what? Let's try it. Let's just try it. Because if you don't know. And, you know, time is not infinite. And so that's where if it can learn and help us take like, how do we make this adapt to this audience or this platform? Then I'm all in for trying it because, you know, when you're bootstrapping, or even when you get venture capital money, they're like, how are you going to turn that $1 into $3? And sometimes you just have to test things, but you want to test it as fast as possible to be like, okay, there might be something over here, or this isn't working at all. That's not where our people are, you know, our audience, what platforms are they hanging out of, what's important to them at the time. And so that's our goal, is to figure that out while also looking at, you know, possibly the school option. And to meet people where they are when they're young.
Yeah, the pipe thing for sure. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me because I have a couple of rental properties and I'm like, that is something I have a sign on my toilet, you know, nothing but toilet paper. I feel like, you know, especially in places where you have older homes or hotels or places like that, I mean, they definitely want to preserve their pipes. I mean, there's a lot of value from that standpoint for sure.
Yeah, it's true. I gave a talk in Iowa back in like 2019. And one of the members in the audience had previously worked for Walmart, and they, you know, and it was a mostly male audience, which sometimes makes me nervous of like, are they going to receive what I'm talking about? But they just look at it in a different perspective. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, when I worked at Walmart, we had some stuff in the female bathrooms go down, you know, because flushing tampons, it's bad. They get, people don't think about it. It's the, if it's out of mind, it's or out of sight, out of mind. So if I don't see it, that means it went somewhere. If it didn't immediately back up, that means it's okay. that's kind of the instant thought, like how that works. And he told me, he said they had a pipe that got clogged, but it got clogged like under the main pipes of the building were underneath the building. And so to get to where the clog was, which was from female products going down, but to get, they had to dig through the floor, and it cost them $90,000 to get through that. And so, you know, when people look at this, and we're on the premium end, because you can buy cheap, flimsy things and stuff that are very inexpensive right now. But when people look at it as, if you look at this and compared to the cost of one repair bill, one burst pipe, you know, or a backup that comes up and, you know, all that sewer water is coming up and getting onto maybe your carpet, maybe your wood floors, you know, or damaging drywall, anything else. It doesn't seem like the cost is that significant at that point. So it's all perspective.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I just had to do a clean out one of my properties last week, and it was like $250. I'm thinking, I'm like, man, I don't know what caused it, but like, I mean, it's very possible that could have been it. So if I would have had something like your product, I mean, it definitely adds a lot of value, and it ends up being cheaper than doing a clean out every few months. So I guess like for you, right, in terms of your business specifically, obviously, like you mentioned AI, but what are their like AI use case do you feel like, if any, could it bring in terms of value to your business specifically?
That's a good question. And I don't know the answer. Like, this is going to be the first time working with it. And so specific to my line of business, I would be interested in like AI generated images that are faster than you could possibly think of or create on your own. But I don't know. We haven't really looked into that yet. But as you can imagine, it's not something visually, like this is an important thing to get people to think about. But education-wise, if there was a way to generate some images that would help explain what we're doing, but without being gory, or I don't want to say the word offensive. It's just, we don't want any gross pictures, right? And so I'd be interested in finding that out. But just anything that can help me learn faster is just help me learn faster, help me fail faster, what doesn't work. Because, you know, I mean, when you're an entrepreneur, you're putting in, this is your money, like you're putting your money and your time into it, and anything that would help save with that and help you reach the people that you're trying to reach to help, that would be ideal. I don't exactly know what that looks like right now, because this sampling of just trying to generate content and ads to find our audience on different platforms, that's going to be new for me. So that's going to be how Pandora's box begins, I suppose. What does that look like? And what can we learn from it?
But have you thought about like AI in the form of like a chat feature? You know, because I think that your product, that people might not understand fully what like the value of it is. That way they can communicate with like an AI chat saying, hey, like, listen, here's the value of it. Here is like the value proposition, sort of like what I mentioned earlier about like saving money on pipes and easy when traveling, things like that.
It's possible. That's a curious idea. And it's conflicting, because I always wonder, you know, it's like I have people who approach me about all kinds of things through email, and I've had the chatbot thing come up before, and I'm thinking, but when you look at the attention span of folks right now, do they really talk with chatbots? And if so, then yes, I need to look at that. And if they don't, and I do it, then was that worthwhile, I guess, for the cost involved. So right now, I'm one of those things where it's like, I just more want to get in front of people, because it's like, they know, they understand, like they know when they've had that horrible moment of like, what do I do with this? Or I'm at, you know, a party, or I'm somewhere where the plumbing might be sketchy. I think they just get it if they just take a moment to think about it. Even concerns, like we get people that they use them solely to keep their pets out of their trash. Like they don't have any issue discarding items into the bins, but then their pets get into them. And so I have people that reach out to me for that, of like, yes, it keeps the pets out, it contains the odors. Like it's, so it's different needs, you know, what they're looking for. And I don't know. It's everybody's needs are their own. And I'm dependent on the friends that we're partnered with at the SEO company to guide me in that direction, because that is definitely a skill that I have to pay someone else to develop. Because that's one thing. Know your shortfalls and plug them in with people you can hire to fill those gaps. And so that's what they're going to figure out, and they're going to help teach me along the way of what they find out and say, okay, maybe not this, maybe this, maybe add the chatbot, maybe don't bother. And that's what I'm hoping for. So I have some really smart people that that I work with.
That's awesome.
On a light basis, yeah.
So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I know you've said it before on your other podcast, but if I had known how much it was going to cost and how much time it would take, I would have been like, well, what really do we need to accomplish here? Is this just to see if you can accomplish something, or is it like truly, are you going to have the gut check to see it through? And we're now in year 5 of existing and 3 of being online. And so we're in that murky period of, okay, we're established. Now, how do you grow, or what do you do next to take that to the next level? Because there's trade-offs with venture capital too. And then how do you balance your life at the same time while you're like, okay, I need to keep the lights on and you know, have healthcare and all those things and retirement and that. And so it's a dance for sure. But that would be it. I just would have had I'll say lowered expectations probably of how long it would take. Because you see the things on Shark Tank and they're like, oh, instant deal, instant, you know, takes off. But it's like, where's the stories of the things that don't make it to that level or of visibility? You know, where are those people?
And even then, I mean, most Shark Tank companies are not successful. You know, they might seem like it's successful, but I think Mark Cuban says something like most of his deals have not been successful. So,
And exactly. And because of that, we don't take on any debt. Like we only operate, we are not on anyone else's timeline except our own. And it took a while to embrace that, to realize it is okay to go at a pace that you can manage. It is okay to go at a pace you can afford, because I wish I would have been okay with that thought in the beginning, and I wasn't. And then you're extra hard on yourself because you're trying to do all things and you burn yourself out. But that comes with it's like you're being tempered, you know, as you go through this.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for the business?
I think a year from now, I'd say at a better crossroads of like, okay, yes, we've got some traction. We've made this partnership or that partnership that we explored, and that is working. We're getting the breadcrumbs of yes, go in that direction. And if it's exactly the same as where it is right now, that's also the crossroads of, well, okay, it self-sustains, but is that it? Like, do you want to do this indefinitely or not? You know, because there's a point too to turn things off, and I'm not in that space yet mentally, but at some point, you know, you just have to decide if you're going to continue or not with anything, or maybe there's other ideas. And so a year from now, I think that's more like just with the timing of the year, is every year I reflect on the previous year and be like, okay, we grew. Did we grow enough? How much do we want to grow? Can we duplicate that again? Can we, you know, 10 times that now in this coming year? And if not, and then where will we be? How much does it take out of your family? Where, you know, how much free time do you have? Can you take a vacation? And it's like, I know that's contradictory to the entrepreneur mindset of the all or nothing, but that's what I review each year is, I want to see, 100%. Did we grow? What did that take? What was the trade-off? And was it worth it? And do you want keep doing that?
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, sometimes there's like a time to sell the business or move on and do something else. There's always opportunities. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media handles? I guess best ways to get in contact with you.
The best way to reach me is directly through email. And that's LisaGill@Tossables.com. You can also go to Tossables.com and submit the info form, and that comes directly to me anyway to the same email address. We're on Instagram @Tossables, and we're on Facebook not so much. Like that's more of a passive place that I check on as I can, and that one's @Tossables for periods. So those are the main three. But anything that comes directly to me through email that's just as good as a text in my case. So that would be the best.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your time today. And we're rooting for you guys to have a very successful 2024.
Thank you, Dan. And thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Bye.